Well, Roisin O'Donnell has won awards for her short stories, including the On Irish Book Award. But one of those stories kept coming back to her in longer form, and thus her debut novel came into being. It's called Nesting, and it's published by Scribner. And after a big bidding war, Roisin O'Donnell, good morning to you and congratulations on the book.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
I loved it. Now, look, we'll get into Ciara's story. But I want to talk to you about your own story. You were born in Sheffield, but your parents are from Derry, hence Roisin. Tell me all about your childhood.
That's right. Yeah, my mum and dad are from Derry City and they moved to live in England before I was born. So I was born and brought up in the city of Sheffield. Mum and dad lived in London initially, and then I think someone told them that Sheffield and the Peak District looked a little bit like Donegal. So that was the reason they ended up living in Sheffield, and I was raised there. And mum and dad, I suppose like a lot of Irish immigrants, always had this dream of moving home. And when I was 18, then my dad got a job in Dublin. So that was in 2002. We all moved over. So I've lived in Ireland now for most of my life. So This is definitely home at this stage.
And you sound completely Irish. But you had that thing, I suppose, of identifying as Irish when you were in the UK, but coming over here and being told you were English. How did that feel?
It was strange, yeah, because I suppose like any second generation immigrant child, you've grown up with quite a complicated relationship with the idea of home. You know, my mum and dad always talked about going home to Derry in the summer holidays. So home was not just the house that I lived in, it was also the place that my parents were from. So then when I moved to live in Ireland, it was that strange feeling of being a little bit of an outsider because I hadn't actually grown up here. But I think over the years I've definitely felt more at home here than I did before.
And I know you learned Irish, didn't you, so you could teach, but you kicked against it first. It was kind of a protest, wasn't it?
I think, yes, I've written about this before. I had to learn Irish because I'd grown up in the UK. I didn't speak a word of Irish. And then I trained as a primary school teacher. I trained up in Derry, but I didn't speak a word of Irish. So to fully qualify as a teacher down here, I had to pass my Irish exam. So I was 27 when I started learning Irish from scratch. And I think I just found it so difficult because I just remember I didn't know how to write anything in Irish. I didn't know how to spell anything. I remember as part of the process, I had to go to the Gaeltacht out in Connemara. Mm. I had to spend 3 weeks out there, and it was full immersion. It was really, really hardcore. The teacher didn't really speak any English all day. It was just complete Gaeilge. And, you know, gradually I started to kind of get a grasp of it. But I'm really glad that I did learn, because I have two little girls and now they're learning Irish at school, and I'm actually able, you know, to help them to converse with them, and even little bits of Irish kind of seeped into Nesting at different points, definitely. And it was nice to be able to draw on that. It's definitely a really important part of our heritage, I think.
How fluent are you now?
Oh, no. Don't test me on that. I'd say like with a lot of learning languages, I can kind of understand more than I can speak. You know, I can understand things that I read, but, you know, I just, not too confident with speaking it.
So you've got all those Derry roots. You've been living in Dublin and Meath for years now, probably longer than you were in Sheffield. Where do you see as home?
I think for me, really, and this comes up a lot, like in my writing, I think home for me is really about the people that you're with and about the place where you feel safe and secure. And so for me, really, home is wherever my family are, you know. So I think that came up as well in Nesting, this idea of like home is like a sanctuary and, you know, the importance of that. So it kind of goes beyond just a physical place.
So tell me about your path into writing. When did you get your first short stories published?
Well, I'd been really writing since I was very young. You know, I think my first things that I wrote were like letters to my granddad when I was not actually able to write myself. I was so young. You know, my mum used to write down little stories and things for me that we'd post to granddad. And all through my childhood and teenage years, I loved books. I was a real bookworm and just loved stories. And I suppose like a lot of people, though, I just didn't have a huge amount of confidence in my own abilities, or I didn't know if I had anything anything worth saying. And I didn't really do too much with my work until I actually turned 30 and decided, right, you know, these big milestone birthdays, you know, how they give you a bit of a kick. And I said, right, okay, it's time to do something about this. And I actually enrolled in a course at the Irish Writers' Centre. And I had a fabulous teacher, Dave Lorden. And he just really encouraged me with the stories and said, right, you know, you should start sending them out into the world, you know. And that was when I first got my first stories published. And then within about a year or so of that, New Island asked me if I would have enough stories to do a collection. And of course, I said yes. So I had a collection of short stories then, Wild Quiet, that was published in 2016.
Yeah, and went brilliantly. And you continued to teach all the time in the primary school, didn't you? Kept both careers going.
Yeah, this was it. Yeah.
So tell me about nesting. We have a mum, Kira, Faye. She's two young daughters. Her husband, Ryan, he's really not all he appears, is he?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, from the outside, it seems as if Kira has this perfect life. You know, she's living in the leafy suburbs of Dublin and Glasnevin, and her husband, Ryan, is a good provider. And he can be sometimes, can be kind and attentive and everything like that. She has two little children. But behind closed doors, she's living a life where she's completely controlled. Her husband, Ryan, has very much cut her off from her family, from her friends. They're not allowed in her house. He's not allowed her to work. There's financial control going on. He controls all the money. And she's just being constantly criticised, really, in her own home and constantly belittled. It's really psychological and emotional abuse. And I wanted to really show that. I felt it was a story that hadn't been told very much. And Kira makes this split-second decision then one day that she's actually going to take a massive risk and leave the home with the two children and try to forge a better life. And nesting is really the story of what happens next.
Because it's such a relevant story, really. Even on prime time, there are so many stories I do that involve stories like this. Mm-hmm. Where did it spring from in your imagination, and how did you research it? Like, you hadn't experienced it yourself. So how did you research it?
So what happened was, it was the height of lockdown, really, in 2020. And as you said, I'd been hearing all these stories on the radio. I knew that Women's Aid had experienced a huge rise in the number of calls. And I'd been listening to all this and thinking about, you know, this story not really being told in a lot of literary fiction. And then what happened was, I got a phone call from Cleona over RT Radio 1, and she asked me to write a short story.
Cleona Nianlun,
yes, who does Spoken Stories, which is a fantastic series. It's available as a podcast. Yeah. And she asked me to write a story on the theme of independence. And it was like that one word was the key that really unlocked everything. And I thought, wow, independence, you know, how is your independence impacted? You know, if you're living in a home where you're not free to voice your own thoughts, or indeed, if you don't have your own home and you're living in emergency accommodation, how does that affect your independence? So I wrote a short story called Present Perfect, and it was read for radio by Siobhan McSweeney,
from
Derry Girls fame. And that was that. The story had been broadcast, you know, that was finished, but something just kept niggling at me. It was like the story wouldn't leave me alone. The story Present Perfect was just about one day in the life of this woman, Kira Faye, who was living in emergency accommodation in the Hotel Eden with her two children. It was just one day in her life. But I just really wanted to know what would happen to her next. Mm. Would she find a way out of that situation? Would she completely break away from her abusive partner? What would happen? And against my best intentions, I had to actually write a novel to find out. But as you say, there was a huge amount of research involved. I wanted to make sure that nesting felt really authentic and validating to these women whose stories I felt had not really been told and had been silenced. I think there is still so much shame and silence and stigma around the topic, of course, of control. Mm. So I spoke to a number of women who had experienced this. I also spoke to an outreach worker from a refuge who was able to talk to me about, I suppose, like the patterns that she was seeing, which was, you know, a really, you know, important conversation. You know, she spoke about how, you know, the bruises are not always physical, you know, and the impact, I suppose, that emotional and psychological abuse can have. And yeah, the question then was how to weave all this into something that would be a compelling story, ultimately.
Which you have succeeded in doing, because I found it fascinating. I know covering these stories, it's leaving is really difficult. That moment when women leave, you cover the fallout of walking out. But of course, leaving, it's not the end of the story, is it? You go into a lot on the impact of homelessness. And I suppose, Ciara, she has to cope then with being a single mother to her little girls.
She does, yeah. As you said, so often I think in stories about coercive control, it's the story arc kind of finishes with the woman leaving, and she drives off into the sunset, and then everything
but
is okay.
That doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen. Yeah. Even with the preliminary research that I'd done when I was writing the short story, I knew that that is very far from the reality, and really the most dangerous time, actually, for a woman who's in an abusive relationship is when she leaves. That is the most difficult stage. And I knew that that is really just the start of the journey. And I was interested in the idea of Ciara, I suppose, finding a way back to herself. And a lovely aspect of writing Nesting that I really enjoyed was writing about her, I suppose, discovering new friendships, you know, going back to her career, getting in touch with her family and gradually coming back to her sense of self. And I wanted to write that in a really authentic way. And as she said then, her experience as a single parent was really important in the logistics of balance. All that.
Because you do manage, you do, there's a lot of hope in this book, and sisterhood and friendship and resilience.
Like, oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that. Yeah.
Yeah, I found that really powerful.
Yes, that was really important. It became, as I was writing Nesting, okay, it started off with Ciara in this very difficult situation, but the more I wrote, it really did become a story about reawakening and about hope and finding hope in the most impossible circumstances and what it takes, I suppose, to change your life and to take that risk.
But it's a hopeful one. It's she left and she went back to her old powerful self, which I loved. When you were looking at these issues, of course, how did it make you feel? I mean, things have improved in terms of women being believed, but there's a really long way to go, isn't there, in support system? I mean, Ciara, she gets the good and the bad of it.
Yeah, she does. She does. In some ways, she does sort of fall through the cracks in the system. Mm. I think as well, when she initially leaves, there's huge sort of psychological barriers to actually reaching out for support. You know, for a long time, she's constantly telling herself, oh, maybe it wasn't that bad. Maybe I shouldn't have left, because there's been so much gaslighting in the relationship. She's been constantly told that it was her fault, and she's taken a lot of that guilt onto herself. And so it takes a long time for her to actually reach out for support. I think you're right, though. I think there are more women coming forward. There's been more stories in the news, you know, incredibly brave women coming forward and telling their stories, which is not easy at all. But when you look at, you know, Women's Aid do say that 1 in 4 women will experience some form of domestic abuse during their lifetime. And that's an incredibly high level. You know, you've got 40,000 calls to Women's Aid in the last year. It's, you know, I think it's been referred to as a shadow pandemic in some ways. And I think we're only really starting to have these meaningful conversations about, you know, what can we do to support women in Ciara's position.
Absolutely. Now, look, when you wrote the book, tell me about your agent sending it out and the response it got. You must have been thrilled. There was a bidding war for your first novel. I mean, who wouldn't want that?
Oh, it was crazy, really. Yeah, my agent, Eleanor Byrne, is wonderful, and she's just so supportive and encouraging. And I remember just before she sent the book out on submission saying, oh gosh, Eleanor, I'm really worried. No one is going to want to publish this. This is my worry throughout writing Nesting. You know, I frequently abandoned it and I wouldn't write anything maybe for a month and just say that no one wants to read a book about, you know, a single mom living in a hotel room, you know, just forget about it. But something always brought me back to the page. I just wanted to know what would happen. So I said to Eleanor, I don't think anyone will want this. But no, we had the first offer within 24 hours, and then the offers just kind of kept coming in. So what happens then is, yeah, you have an auction. So I had the chance to talk to all these different publishers. So I think I had, yeah, about 9 Zoom calls within a week. But I was also primary teaching, you know, full time. And you know, I'm a single mom myself. I have two little kids. So it was a busy week. But it was incredible. It was lovely talking to all these people about nesting, because really I'd been on my own with the book for most of the time, apart from talking to my agent Eleanor about it. So it was lovely to hear just different responses to it. And yeah, and I finally ended up then with the Scribner UK, who've been just brilliant.
It's great, though, I suppose, when, as you say, when you're writing it, you're probably quite nervous, wondering, will anyone read it? And then you realise so many people do want it. Will it make much difference? It probably will to your life. I know you're in a career break, but I suppose abandoning your teaching role, that's going to be a big move completely, won't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know that I'm abandoning it just yet, you know. I do love teaching. I've been teaching since I was, about 23 years old in some form or other. And I kind of drew on that for Kira's background as well. Yeah. She's a teacher. And just to add that level of kind of authenticity, I think, to her character. So, no, I love teaching. And I miss the kids that were in my class, you know. Luckily, I still get to see them, because my daughter was actually in the class that I was teaching last year. So a lot of the children I was teaching her little friends, so I still get to keep them up. They tell me all the bars.
And the lovely thing is, the fab Louisa Harland from Derry Girls, she's recorded the audio version of Nesting. Yes. Did you speak to her about it?
I did. Yeah. Yes. I was so excited when I heard that Louisa was going to do the audiobook, and my publisher said, you know, Louisa would like to talk to you. So I couldn't believe it, getting a phone call from, you know, from Louisa. And she was lovely. She was just so down to earth and so genuine. And, you know, she really liked the book, and she had questions about the different characters. And it was brilliant talking with her. And I've heard little clips now of the audiobook, and her voice is incredible. She really, you know, she just really brings Kira alive.
Well, Roisin, congratulations. It's a fabulous novel, your debut novel. Thank you very much for coming in to me here this morning. It's called Nesting, and it's published by Scribner. And I wish you the very best of luck.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Roisin. We'll take a break.